Welcome to show 921, this 27th day of December. I'm Todd Cochran, your host, and you know what comes next. This is the Geek News Central Podcast, bringing the latest tech and science news, coming to you live from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save today at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Fans, strap yourself in for a great show. Geek News Central, the longest-running tech podcast, is ready. It's showtime. Aloha, everyone, and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to welcome you to the show tonight. Got a great show lined up for you. We're going to have a lot of fun. And it's been a great last couple of days here. Pretty busy, but we'll talk about all that here in a few minutes. But I want to give, again, a warm welcome to all of the Ohana and, of course, all the folks that are brand new to the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out. And we also want to encourage you for sure to get over to geeknewscentral.com. And we want you to get subscribed to the show. It's real easy to do. All you got to do is go on the second column of the website. And while you're there, get subscribed to all the shows. This show, which is produced every Monday and Thursday night. The special media events feed, which is right now pretty lively. The new media show, which was pretty cool this past Saturday. We'll talk about that. The Gadget Professor and Robot Underpants. All great shows that you want to subscribe to at Geek News Central. You want to get signed up for the newsletter as well. There's a link on the website for you to do that. Of course, you can reach me real easily via Twitter or via email. GeekNews@gmail.com is a place to go for the email and see if I can press the right button here. I think I just started playing the video again. at Geek News is the Twitter account. So feel free to drop me a line. You know, we're on Google Plus and Facebook. All that stuff is at geeknewscentral.com as well. So don't stress it. Hey, one thing I want to share tonight is we think we have found a solution. You guys know for a long time now, we've been putting the show notes up at gncshownotes.com. Angelo, who is my CIO over at Raw Voice, him and I were talking. Of course, we're getting the site prepped to do switch to a multi-user site. And, you know, I was explaining to him, I said, it really sucks having the show notes over on this other site. I said, it just, you know, kind of messes the feel of people have to go to another site and look for it. But, you know, talked about the reason we had done that. And he, in one afternoon, coded up a plugin for me. It's called the No More plugin. And what it does is there's a basically something in WordPress you can do by putting a No More tag in, an attribute. And from that point down, now what's going to happen is we're going to automatically add no follow links to all those links that were causing us trouble. Now, we're not 100% sure if this is going to completely get us out of the basically penalty box by having these long show notes. But basically, by telling Google, don't follow any of those links, what it really does is they should depreciate them and they shouldn't penalize me for the links. So what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is we're going to kind of watch the Google traffic real close. But on tonight's show, that's going to be complete show notes on geeknewscentral.com. Whereas before, again, it was, again, being pushed over to GNC show notes. So there's going to be no post at gncshownotes.com tonight for show number 921. Everything will be on geeknewscentral.com, so you don't have to go to a second website. So we're excited about being able to really start really bringing things back into alignment on the on the website like we want to. So this is got my fingers crossed. And if any of you out there are SEO experts, if you think my methodology is sound, let me know. But again, anything that's basically from a point I designate in the page down will have that no follow link. And I think that's going to help us out a lot. Time will tell when we start pushing 4, 5, 10 episodes into the system with the full show notes. We'll watch the Google traffic and see if we are, if we're impacted. Of course, this show tonight is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy. And, you know, GoDaddy's been here with us since July of 2005. And they bring great deals to basically all of us to use, especially for you. And the codes that they've got this month are really kind of this smorgasbord of codes, lots of discounts, huge, huge discounts, which you can all find at geekinthecentral.com/GoDaddy. But we've got two 50% off codes. One is for a new hosting plan. You get a free domain with each of these, okay? So a 50% off a new hosting plan with a free domain name by using the promo code 50host7. Now you get 50% off 12 months of business website builder for those that you those of you that have a business and looking to get you know, some more powerful tools. And you get a free domain with that as well by using the code 50WSB7. You can get 30% off your order at GoDaddy.com using promo code 30Deal3. Now that's, again, 30% off a new order at GoDaddy using the promo code 30Deal3. Now there's some other codes on the website at geekandcentral.com/GoDaddy. But as we ramp up to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl's always been pretty good to me from a code standpoint. We've gotten a little bit of SEO going on the website. So as people watch the GoDaddy commercials, they're going to type in GoDaddy Super Bowl. And oftentimes I'll be in the top 4 or 5 search results. And we'll be working at magic again this year, basically trying to get people to use the codes. And it's, believe me, it helps a lot when we get that big influx like that. It helps to keep the lights on here at GNC. So as you guys are thinking about products that you may want to be pick up, think about GoDaddy and think about using my promo codes. Share them with your friends, family members, people that you know. The more you share the codes, the more you spread them around. You know, if you've never donated a single dime to the show from an insider standpoint, just by sharing my code one time with a friend or two times with a friend really makes a big impact. It's actually almost better than having done an insider donation. So thanks so much for all of you that do that. Okay. Again, thanks GoDaddy. And again, geekandcentral.com/GoDaddy. Get all those deals. So what happened this past Saturday was kind of an interesting development. You know, I was prepared here in the studio to have one of Ice-T's managers and Rob Greenlee on board. As a matter of fact, I wonder if Rob announced his new job today. I wonder if he was allowed. Let me see if I can. Rob has left Microsoft. And let me see if I can find Rob's. Let's see here. Yeah, let me go ahead and look at if he's actually done this. And let me see if he actually posted online today. Okay, so Rob is now working at Podcast One. And so, you know, I had known Saturday where Rob was going, but I really couldn't see anything. But again, today he is picked up the position of executive vice president. He's going to be the CTO over there at Podcast One. So this is a big, big deal. And we wish Rob the best of luck over at Podcast One. So very, very cool. Of course, that's with Norm Batiz and all those guys over there who are doing cool stuff. And so we'll see how it works out with Rob being down there in L.A. with them. He's going to be commuting back and forth and so forth. But anyway, so this past Saturday, we're preparing to get Ice-T's manager on. And so all of a sudden, we got like two people trying to dial in here. And then there was a third that was trying to come in. So we really kind of got screwed up because I wasn't set up to do premium multi-video chats up on top on the Ohanasaurus. And I'm hearing this very distinctive voice. And lo and behold, we had Ice-T on the new media show for, oh my God, an hour and 15 minutes or so. And it was really a great conversation, insightful. And even though he was only on audio because we could never get the three videos up at once, I think what you guys will find is if you're subscribed to the New Media Show, you definitely will hear Ice-T and his commentary and their team stuff. So very, very cool stuff. A little bit raw, not very raw though. You know, we've never made the New Media Show completely family safe, largely because we would know we would have some colorful guest on, and Ice-T was fantastic as a guest. And so look forward to seeing where he takes his podcast. But that was kind of cool for this past Saturday for the new media show. And obviously we got a lot of people, you know, raving about it and, you know, actually kind of surprised that we had Ice-T on here on the new media show. But again, completely different podcast than what this one's all about. For those of you that are thinking about doing a podcast, it's definitely a show that you want to listen to. So again, the multi-user stuff continues to press forward, and we're writing some custom plugins and stuff to work with my complete setup. And so that's pretty exciting stuff. But I want to remind you guys that we're still wanting to look forward for folks that want to sponsor a blog post. I had a link up in the show notes last show. If you want to sponsor a blog post, come in at $12.50 as a donation. That'll cover one blog post on the website. And we appreciate it when you do make those contributions. So what I'm going to do now, too, is I'm going to open up again for the first time in several years. Is that with the change coming to the website, I'm going to start expanding the number of podcasters we have at Geek News Central. And here's kind of my end goal. I'm going to be changing the way I do business at events like CES and NAB. And I want to really to build a core team at Geek News Central that will go with me to those events. And so I'm looking for some folks that are techie, that have done shows in the past, or maybe are doing one now, that want to join me in partnering up. So definitely looking for some podcasters to do that with. I've continue will do some of the stuff that I have done in the past, but I'm definitely going to change the way as I move forward through this business year. Just have to. I just got to make some changes. Nothing that's going to affect this show or anything else, but really, you know, Don Bain and I have been talking about some cool things that we're going to be bringing to the table here soon with a new show. So there's a lot of exciting stuff going on, but really from a business perspective, got to expand. Time to grow. And not to departing for anything that we're doing with any of our networks and that part of the business, that all is going to continue to flow and be a very successful part. And we'll still pull from that team to go to CES, but definitely want to build a bigger core base here and looking for shows to basically come underneath the umbrella of the website and work with me on a much closer basis. So if you're a podcaster or you're thinking about doing a tech show, definitely drop me a line. And geeknews@gmail.com, and we'll definitely have a discussion on that. So podcaster edition start now and probably going to go through like maybe the next 6 months. So this is going to be an ongoing process to find talent, and we hope that we all can rise to the top together. Now, one thing I want to talk about, and this is going to be where I'm going to get into the tech content tonight, and I got a lot of tech to talk about, but I saw, and I've been watching what's going on in San Francisco with these protesters. Specifically, the protesters have been protesting like the Google bus and the Apple bus, and what I found here at this show, and those of you been with me for a long time know that on show 69, when we were just started out, you know, unbeknownst to all of you, when I was those of you that were here in the beginning. When I started this show, we had just an incredible inswell of listeners. Many of you are still here today. And at the same time, behind the scenes, I had been contracted to write a book on podcasting. And I announced that, I believe, on show number 69. That show was pretty monumentous in two ways. One, it was a great announcement. Number two, lost half of the audience in that single show because a number of folks basically say you sold out, you know, just after the money. And, you know, from the very beginning, when we started this show, you know, I said in the very beginning that I was going to do it for 2 years. My wife and I had talked 2 years to have a business plan to be successful and to have be profitable and be able to eventually be able to retire from the Navy and you know, hopefully do this full time. So what ended up happening, you know, everything went really well and, you know, we really tracked good. But that show was an eye opener for me from a standpoint. And those of you who've been here know this already, is that sometimes people scorn success. You know, they really, really do. And oftentimes I will tell podcasters that are being successful with their shows and that are earning a good living, I said, you know, whatever you do, don't tell your audience how much you're making with your show. Number one, it's not cool. It's just kind of bad taste to do that. Number two, you know, you just you open up all kinds of ridicule and jealousy, and you really don't need that from a standpoint. And if people want to calculate in their head, what if they think they know what you're doing, then so be it. But, you know, don't ever be someone that's boastful. You know, try to stay humble. Now, you know, I've talked to, you know, I've been very open about this show, and we've had a number of sponsors, and we were very supportive of the folks that are, and very thankful for the folks that are insiders here. So, you know, this show is always, we haven't had haters come in and talk about, you guys are just, you run too many ads and blah, blah, blah. You know, some of that happened in the beginning, but now it's just, you know, this core audience that's here that, you know, supports the show in many, many ways. You're tweeting, you're emailing, you're sending me art links to articles, you're sending me private notes. Get a lot more of those today than I ever did before, and a variety of other things. And, you know, we're not perfect. I try to do everything that we're, you know, we say we're going to do here. And, you know, we've got Sam. Of course, we're probably underutilizing Sam right now as our insider coordinator. But really trying to make sure that everything we do here stays on track. How does it get back to what's going on in San Francisco? You know, when someone is successful and you look at these folks that work at Google and work at Apple, they are definitely, it's well known that they're probably on the upper echelon of the income wage standard in San Francisco. They're probably, many of these folks are making a minimum $150,000 a year. Some probably more than that. They're young. They're successful. You know, it comes from all, you know, whether it be programming, marketing, they all, you know, Google doesn't hire stupid people, and neither does Apple. You know, they go after very vibrant, smart, high SAT, high GPA, comes from good pedigree schools. They hire really the cream of the crop. And it's evident in products from Apple and from Google and, you know, Microsoft up in Seattle. You know, they have to, in order to continue to innovate and maintain this culture of, I guess, of cool, you know. But at the same time, there's this segment of our society now that scorns people that are successful, people that make money. I don't get it. I grew up in a family of, my dad was a business owner. He worked like a dog. He, you know, he had a construction company when I was growing up. We literally dug ditches. That was, we were proud too. We had dragline cranes, bulldozers, backhoes, and we did developments. We did, you name it, we did it. If the dirt needed to be moved, that's what my dad's business did. And had employees, and my father was always the last one to get paid. The employees got paid first, and you know, and it was tough. And my father's, you know, my mom had to work a second time a job because the business was good, but it wasn't that good, right? Typical American story, work hard, right? And so now it just seems like so many of these folks, they want everything given to them on a golden platter. You know, they scorn success, and it really drives me crazy. And be honest with you, at this point in my life, I really cannot be around negativity. I can't be around people that scorn success. You know, it just doesn't, it's not good from a mental standpoint. And I'm not trying to relate what's going on, you know, with me here, but what I'm trying to say is, why are we have this country people that scorn success? I don't get it. I know this is completely not tech related, but it's been driving me crazy, to be honest with you, because anytime You know, we should all, every time a student, a college graduate, someone that is self-taught, someone that starts a business, we should applaud what they do instead of, you know, giving them the look or scorning them, you know? I like to be around winners. I don't like to be around losers, you know? It's just, that's the way we're supposed to be here. And, you know, and this is not only in America, but other places in the world too. So I don't know. I don't know where it stems from. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know why we're getting this segment of the community. And everyone has to earn their own way and do what they've got to do to survive. But it really pisses me off when I hear these folks that are scorning success and complaining. It just drives me nuts. But I just had to rant a little bit tonight and talk and wanted to share some of the things I've been thinking about. You guys are part of the family here. You're part of the Ohana. And I want you guys to know as we move forward with the show, you know, that's what it's all about here. It's not just about the tech. That's great. And if some people come here for just for the tech, skip this part. You know, skip the first 10 or 15 minutes of the show and then get into the tech. But I always think at this point we need to continue to have this relationship together. And I think it's important. It really is. And the show won't be continued success. We won't make 20 or 25 years with the show without this ongoing relationship. But I mean, what do you guys think? Do you guys think that there's this group of, is it just a small segment of society that scorns success, or do we see more of it? You know, maybe I'm overreacting, but love to hear feedback. geeknews@gmail.com. All right. So let's go ahead and let me switch off and change gears here. And hey, Spitballs, long time no see, my friend. Welcome to the chat room. And let's go ahead and get into the tech here. We got a lot to cover tonight. So, yeah, and someone told me, hey, Todd, hour's perfect. I don't know if I'm going to make an hour tonight because I kind of ranted for about 20 minutes. But congratulations to Apple. We are going to celebrate success. Apple today announced financial results for its fiscal 2014 first quarter that ended on December 28th. The company posted record quarterly revenue of $57.6 billion and a quarterly net profit of $13.1. But even then, the stockholders are not happy. The stock was trading down. They made $13.1 billion, and the stockholders are like, oh, that wasn't enough. Please. $57.6 billion in revenue on $13.1. Do the math. That's great. That's a, you know, most people would be very happy to have that type of a return on their business. So congratulations to them. They sold 51 million iPhones, an all-time quarterly record compared to 47.8 million a year ago. Apple also sold 26 million iPads during the quarter, also an all-time quarterly record compared to 22.9 million years ago. And the company sold 4.8 million Macs compared to 4.1 million in the year ago. So the board of directors has declared a cash dividend of $3.05 per share. So that gets payable on February 13th, and very, very cool. So they're very happy with the sales, but Apple is basically feeling that they're going to have revenue between 42 and 44 a billion in the second quarter. They think they're going to have gross margin between 37 and 38%. They're going to have operating expenses of $4.3 to $4.4 billion, and they're paying a tax rate of 26.2%. Not all of that, obviously, in the United States. So they did have, I believe they had their phone conversation, and Tim Cook admitted that low iPhone 5C sales was unexpected but did happen. So they were a little puzzled with that, but a little bit surprising. I was looking at some charts the folks over at The Verge made, and it talks about revenue versus profit. And you know, even though it narrowed a little bit, so what? They still they put $13 billion in the bank. Sales are up across the board. Apple revenue per device is down a little bit, but who cares? You know, I think any company that has had so many quarters in a row of success any company or any stockholder that complains, you know, give me, I know they want more dividends, but please, the company's doing great. But you know, what's even more incredible is they built a business that's building businesses. Apple paid out $2 billion to developers in Q1 2014. Think about that. $2 billion went to companies that 10 years ago, there was nothing that existed. $2 billion went to developers of apps. Is that just like, holy cow, or what? That just tells you something right there. And if you look at their, if you look at their split and how they do the split, it's real easy to do the math on how many dollars they spent in, you know, how much money we all spent on apps. So again, congratulations to Apple on having a fantastic quarter, and I hope that you have many, many more. Switching gears into the TV space, ESPN is wary of cord cutters, and they're saying that they need to protect pay TV as its first priority. We all know that ESPN, and as a disclaimer here, I do business with ESPN. ESPN is the leader of TV sports in the United States, and they play a direct role in the ongoing rising pay TV packages. And I've been the first to admit I'm not a big sports watcher, so I don't pay for a bunch of extra sports packages, but I know a lot of people do. But in a feature on Wall Street Journal on Monday, they explored how ESPN is in a delicate balancing act right now, trying to accommodate growing demands for sports fans who want to see games online, while at the same time assuring the cable and satellite companies, which are really their bread and butter, it's where they make the bulk of their cash. But, you know, let's be honest. I think that at some point there's going to have to be a shift. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to hold on to the TV stuff as long as they can, before they have to, you know, there's going to come this teeter-totter point where, you know, it's going to shift, and at some point it's going to flip, and they're going to see a major hit, and they're going to have to be very aggressive to keep, the revenue rolling in. Because largely a lot of folks on the internet have not been willing to pay for stuff. But you look at my daughter, she doesn't have a cable TV. I'm not saying she's a sports fan, but there's a lot of, you know, look at my son. He's getting older, he's watching more and more sports. His girlfriend was over. We watched the Pro Bowl here at the house, kind of did a little small miniature big game type of thing where we just did the, you know, kind of some barbecue and, you know, some stuff, hamburgers and stuff. And, but, you know, he's becoming more watching sports. My younger son is, they're watching more sports than I do. So at some point when they leave home, you know, they're going to be part of this generation that's going to be cable cutting, and they're going to want to be able to get ESPN via the internet. And he's probably going to be willing to pay. You know, I've always taught them that, it's, you know, if something's good, it's worth paying for and it's worth supporting. So we'll see what happens with ESPN over time. But ESPN is definitely worried about TV, and they're doing everything they can to protect that base. All right, Twitter's added a crop and rotate feature to your photo uploads. Apparently, I think they're doing it automatically. Maybe not. No. You have to actually crop and flip yourself. But very, very cool. They've added that. That's a nice change, nice update to Twitter. Getting into the science and space news, China's moon rover has hit a snag. Basically, they're thinking that the rover is not going to make it through its next lunar cycle. They've experienced a mechanical control issue. And what they try to do is when at a certain point, they have to basically kind of put the rover into a hibernate mode. And they're not able to close the solar panels. So apparently when the solar panels are closed, it helps protect the rover from getting too cold. And they don't know if it's going to come out, because they were not able to, when they go into this next mode, they may not be able to survive the long lunar night. So we'll see what happens here. Of course, a single day on the moon lasts about 28 Earth days, meaning that the lunar daytime is nearly 2 Earth weeks long, and it's a 14-day 14-night cycle. So we'll see what happens when it enters the next night cycle. But they're very, very worried, and they don't think it's going to survive. So we'll see what happens with it. The link will be up at space.com. Another article that is out, today is the anniversary of Apollo 1. It's a tragic anniversary, and really, on this day in 1967, NASA astronauts Virgil Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee died in a fire inside of the Apollo 1 spacecraft. And, you know, this story is well known, but at this point, it's one of those things that the astronauts had been asking for more and more safety features. So what resulted from this was that there was more safety features put in, exploding bolts, basically ways to get out of the capsule, and a lot of things that the astronauts had been, for better word, begging for was implemented. And, you know, it's terrible. These guys, you know, it was a full oxygen and there was a spark and, you know, they basically burned alive. It was absolutely horrible, but it happened in 1967. Now, you know, sometimes CEOs of companies make comments that just to the average man and woman on the street, you would be like, what is that person saying? And we all know that Bayer is a well-known company, not only for aspirin, but Bayer also produces pharmaceuticals. And Bayer is having some licensing issues in India. And Bayer's chief executive officer basically called the compulsory license essentially theft that's happening in India. He said, we did not develop this medicine. This is pretty... so don't take this wrong. I'm quoting what he said. We did not develop this medicine for Indians, Decker said December 3rd. We developed it for Western patients who can afford it. And pretty honest comment here, but definitely taking a lot of fire for having said it. You know, Bayer and other pharmaceutical companies are for-profit companies. And you know, you would think that they would be a little bit more thoughtful on humanitarian concerns. And this is one of the reasons why so oftentimes drugs are reverse engineered and basically companies lose money in foreign markets because other companies to bring them to market without all the testing. But it's definitely a bad thing to say. And it probably did not go over good with the majority of the folks in the in India. But apparently there's some sort of licensing that's going on that requires them to have their drugs there or something. So long story short, Bayer is not happy. Bayer's CEO is not happy with this compulsory licensing that's being required in India. But probably shouldn't have said that. That was probably off the cuff and he probably regrets it now. But that's what happens. Hey, a little news on Windows 8.1. With the next update to Windows 8.1, Microsoft really wants mouse and keyboard users to feel comfortable with what they're calling modern apps. And so they're going to be adding some taskbar shortcuts for modern apps. They're going to be having some right-click menus for modern apps, and they're going to have easier access to search and shutdown. They're going to have a proper close button, how they say that, for modern apps. And they're going to have lower memory and disk requirements for 8.1. So we're expecting a March 11th delivery of Windows 8.1. But, you know, you can only put so much lipstick on a pig, and ultimately it's still a pig. And I think Windows 8 will go down in history of being the Windows ME of our generation. So anyway, we will see what happens with Windows 8.1. But a pig's a pig's a pig. No matter how clean you get it or how much lipstick or dress you put on, it's still a pig. All right, the FBI is holding on to encrypted email archives after the Freedom hosting seizure. This should come as a wake-up call for some folks. The FBI first seized archives from encrypted Tor mail service back in August as part of the Freedom hosting bust. But new evidence uncovered by Wired suggests that those archives are now being used in completely unrelated investigations. Because Tor mail was a client of Freedom hosting, the FBI has access to all the data stored by the service, including metadata and content of each email. And basically, the email has been probably looked at here through some sort of warrants or so forth. But a group of credit card counterfeiters were arrested last week, which used a Tor mail address to accept orders. So apparently, once the FBI agents discovered the address on the Tor mail server, they got a search warrant for the account and then simply looked it up in the archives stored on the Freedom hosting servers. Again, they had the servers all in their possession. And so it's this is a little bit of a can't be safe anywhere. If you can't do the time, folks, don't do the crime. There's some discussion about upcoming Super Bowl, and Google apparently is getting a piece of it. And how's that really happened? Well, if you search for Super Bowl commercials, it brings up paid links to YouTube videos from Audi, Bud Light, and Volkswagen. And these are basically commercials for the commercials. So this is pretty crazy. It's, you know, it's there. These ads, it's, there's a whole strategy in the launch of these ads. Of course, you know, I link to the GoDaddy Super Bowl, one of the Super Bowl ads, or the pre-Super Bowl ad. And, you know, it's very expensive. They spend a lot of money for these advertisements. You know, last year, viewers of the Super Bowl were 265 million people. And those commercials were very expensive. So they're trying to get everyone prepped for their commercial to watch. And it's a big, big game here. But the Bloomberg folks are, you know, saying, hey, you know, the folks at YouTube are cashing in on all this money being spent to try to make sure people watch or, you know, plan on watching the commercial that's played during the Super Bowl. So what do you guys think this year? Who's going to have the best ad? I don't know. The Audi ones have always been good. You know, the Darth Vader one was fantastic. But we will see. We'll see what happens. Hey, Comcast is, this is an interesting article on The Verge. Comcast is reportedly wanted to nab millions of customers from Time Warner Cable. And they've apparently done a deal with Charter. Now, Charter is trying to buy Time Warner Cable at this point. And so what Comcast has done is they said, hey, Comcast is close to striking a deal that would basically take a significant number of Time Warner Cable's assets if Charter's buyout attempt goes through. And now what's going to happen is, you know, Charter's buying Time Warner Cable, and when it happens, Comcast is going to get some of the deal. They're going to take a piece of it. And that brings additional cash to Charter in trying to take over Time Warner. Now, what's going to happen is the deal would give Time Warner Cable's New York City, New England, and North Carolina cable assets to Comcast, again, if Charter's purchase of Time Warner Cable goes through. So Time Warner Cable said to have about 3 million subscribers through those markets. Now, that would mean here in Hawaii, I would get stuck on Charter. Now, I would prefer to be a Comcast customer, but we'll see where this leads. This is it's going to be interesting. It hasn't turned completely hostile, but Time Warner Cable's rebuffed Charter 3 times now, and time will tell where this leads. Hey, Quentin Tarantino has sued Gawker Media over apparently a script for some movie, The Hateful Eight, was leaked. And this is the Django Unchained director or follow-on movie. And Quentin Tarantino has basically said, you know, I'm going to sue you guys for $1 million. $1 million seems to be the key for damages recently because Prince, yes, the artist currently known as Prince. What is it now? He was Prince, and he was the artist formerly known as Prince, and he was a symbol, but now he's the artist Prince, or however that works. Still, Purple Rain was one of the absolute, is the most incredible album ever. But long story short, Prince is suing like 300 people or something for $1 million each for basically stealing his music. So Prince is in the suing game now too. So it seems to be that $1 million seems to be the key number right now for folks. Okay. Apparently old school Wi-Fi is slowing down the internet and venues. The early Wi-Fi standards that opened the world's eyes to wire-free networking are now holding back the newer, faster protocols that followed in their wake, Cisco Systems has said. The IEEE 802.11 standard, now available in numerous versions with speeds up to 6.9 gigs and growing, still requires devices and access points to be compatible with the technology that date to the late 1990s. But those older standards, once popular 802.11b and even slower spec from 1997, aren't nearly as efficient as most Wi-Fi being sold today. So what happens is all this older layered code has to be in there, and oftentimes a device will connect on that older technology before it'll connect on the different B and G and, you know, all those other higher 802 classes. So they're saying it's starting to cause issues, and at some point they want to start chopping some of this old stuff out. So we'll tell what happens here, but they are suggesting, well, they say they aren't suggesting removal of 802.11 from 802 to 802.11b. Instead, they're proposing changes that allow for two certification tracks at the Wi-Fi Alliance. One track would hold on to the slower speeds, while the other would gradually discourage the use of older modes. Because what's happened is they're time sharing all that frequency stuff, and depending on what frequency levels, and if it's the old 802.11 or 802.11b, it takes longer to on a certain channel to transmit that data, whereas the newer protocols use the same frequencies, but the data is moving much quicker. So we'll see where this leads, but there's definitely some dueling standard stuff going on here that they're trying to eliminate. But good write-up for the geeks out there. Hey, if you check into a hotel, actually, how would you like to go to a hotel and not check in? Just go to your room. How'd you like to have your phone say, hey, you're staying here at the Starwood, and you're on floor 11, room 62. 1162. So you go to your room, you get to your room, and you press a couple of things on your mobile device, and your door opens. That is what is being proposed and what's being implemented at several Starwood hotels. They're trying out a new lock system that connects via Bluetooth to an iOS or Android app. I wonder what happens if you show up with a Windows phone or if you don't have a phone. Do they give you a clicker to get in your door? How does that work? So we all know that millions of existing locks are vulnerable to hackers. We've talked about that here on this show quite a bit, but they've already got an app that you can use, and we'll see what happens here. But we know this is not without risk. Naturally, a wireless online system like this opens itself up for new methods of attack, but we'll see what happens. And some of these technologies are going to be introduced in California and in Silicon Valley and so forth. So we'll see where this leads. Maybe you'll be able to check in without an app. Hey, Dale, welcome to the show. You know, I must admit, I've seen several Teslas here in Hawaii, and you have to stop and admire these works of art. They are absolutely beautiful vehicles. Now, I'm not a type of guy that, when I shop for a vehicle, and I haven't had a lot of new vehicles in my entire life, I'm not so focused on the exterior appearance. I'm more of an interior type of guy. I want nice amenities in the vehicle. After all, living in Hawaii, I'm spending 2 to 3 hours a day in my car. I'm stuck in this hellacious traffic we have here. So long story short, you know, these Teslas are just incredible pieces of art from the outside and inside. They're beautiful. And, you know, they're crazy expensive. You know, you look at the Model S and all these, oh, gosh, you know, someday I'll be making enough money, I'll be able to afford one. But, you know, not now. Not with two kids getting ready to go to college and everything else. But it turns out you can drive across the country in an electric vehicle using only Tesla's supercharger station. Now, it's going to take you a little while. It's going to take you a week exact. John Glennie, a 62-year-old Model S owner, and his 26-year-old daughter left New York earlier this month with the hope that all the supercharger stations they needed to complete the trip would be up and running. They were, and the duo landed in Los Angeles this weekend. Tesla currently has 71 supercharger stations installed throughout the country, while the most direct route from New York to LA would be a little over 40 hours. Based on the placement of the superchargers, it would take nearly 60 hours to make it from coast to coast, not including time it takes to charge each station. John and Jill did it in a week. So let's do the math there, okay? So we can drive coast to coast in 40 hours, excuse me. So if you drive 8 hours a day, when you're doing coast to coast, you know, I've done it in three. So let's say 4 hours coming from, you know, 5 days coming from New York, 8 hours a day. So it says 60 hours plus the extra charge time. That's if no one's on the charger. You know, it's challenging, but what's going to happen here over time is that Tesla wants to have nearly 90 or 95% of the country covered so that you could go from one station to one Tesla supercharging station to another in order to, you know, basically keep your car charged. Now, this particular car went from, let's see here, they left New York, went through Pennsylvania, Ohio. Looks like they were in Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, South Dakota, Wyoming, Colorado, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Arizona, then into California. Not the most direct route to get to California, but definitely a route. But anyway, you can do it if you've got a Tesla. If anybody wants to help me buy one, you know, I'm always accepting gifts here at Geek News Central. Just kidding. But anyway, they logged 3,619 miles, consumed 1,366 kilowatts of juice, and they got to charge a car for free. So it cost them zero. That's quite a savings in gas. But, you know, you think about the car payment on one of those bad boys. All right, over on the BBC, Airbnb chief seeks competition but not war with hotels. This is a good interview. And, you know, Airbnb, it's another disruptor. You know, you look at what they're doing. And Uber, another disruptor. Chris, there's some sad news in the Uber space. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Hey, Google's acquired a human-like artificial intelligence company for $500 million. I'm going to tell you, Google is scooping up a whole bunch of robotics companies and artificial intelligence companies. What have they got planned? You know, I didn't realize they're buying as many robotic companies, but they bought like 8 of the top 12 robotics companies in the United States. And this artificial intelligence company out of England, it's called DeepMind. That's a lot of money for a company that didn't really have much of a website. So they're doing some interesting stuff here. Who knows where it's going to lead, but you know, artificial intelligence is, you know, the future. We're talking about type of stuff like, you know, the worry about Skynet. So we'll have to see where this leads. But, you know, Google is definitely spending some cash on robotic companies. Not necessarily technical news, but the folks out west, on the west coast of the United States, are, man, they're in drought conditions. Reservoirs are empty. There's some cool articles talking about as reservoirs are going down, they're finding old mining towns and settlements and bridges and all kinds of crazy stuff. So I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. But those of you on the West Coast know how bad the water situation is. Here we've had pouring rain all day. The weather has been balmy for Hawaii, 60s to about 75, which is really weird. But, you know, the whole country's got weird weather right now. And those of you on the East Coast, brr, I just feel for you already. My mom was telling me that where she lives in Michigan, it was like wind chill of minus 30. And she's not even, she says, I'm not working tomorrow. I'm staying home. We're not going out and doing any deliveries. And I'm like, well, my mom stays in because it's cold. It's really, really cold. And I told her it was a good idea. She had a truck breakdown. She'd get in trouble in a hurry. But anyway, it's very, very cold. And for here in Hawaii, you know, I vowed never to wear a coat here. But I'm seeing people wearing coats. The local folks have been here all their lives. They're freezing. You guys are going to laugh. 60 degrees and they're freezing, right? My wife, she's closing all the, oh, it's cold. It's cold. And of course, we've got a nice brisk wind. I've got the side window just barely open tonight because we've been getting wind gusts of up to about like 25. For her, this is just like horrible stormy weather in Hawaii. And I just kind of like, whatever. You know, it could be minus 30, not 62. All right, Business Insider. Boy, oh boy. When people are greedy, cash makes people do stupid things. The CEO of BitInstant, a Bitcoin exchange, has been arrested at JFK and charged with money laundering. Charlie Sharem, along with a co-conspirator, is accused of selling over $1 million in Bitcoins to Silk Road users who would then use them to buy drugs and other illicit items. This guy is going to jail for a long, 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 long time. You know, is there that much crooked stuff going on with Bitcoins? Now, even more weird is, you know, the guys that got money from Facebook, the Winklevoss twins, or however you pronounce their names, Winklevoss. That's a pretty interesting name. But anyway, BitInstant is offline. It was the subject of a class action lawsuit alleging misrepresentation of its services. But these, these T-twins are somehow tied to this. Okay, interesting. But anyway, this guy's in jail. Money laundering. You don't mess with Uncle Sam when it comes to cash and drugs and that kind of stuff. They are going to catch you. They are going to put you in jail. Hey, how many of you have followed the site Upworthy.com? I've never been on the site until today, and I heard some people raving about it. I'm looking at it, and I'm kind of like, okay. I guess they rewrite headlines, and that's their shtick. I guess. I don't know. I just haven't followed this site, so I'll explore it a little more. Over on New York Times, sad story about Uber. A Uber driver who was in between rides, somehow, I don't know what happened, but he was involved in an accident where a young girl, Sophia Liu, six years old, was struck and killed by a car in San Francisco. On New Year's Eve, the car was driven by a Uber driver waiting for basically his next drive. And the family is expected to file suit against the driver and Uber. And this will turn interesting. Now, Uber has insurance. Basically, you're covered when someone is in your vehicle riding. But there was no one in the vehicle. And so basically the lawsuit is seeking damages against Uber. And of course, Uber saying, hey, there was nobody in the car, but something to do about the mobile device having to be on and connected to the Uber system or something to that fact. But anyway, this could turn, it'll be precedent setting on whatever happens in this case. Hey, scientists have filmed how the brain works. Now, this is pretty cool. You know, we all know, any of us that are geeky at all, we understand what happens when a hard drive writes something to memory. But what happens when we have when our brain records a memory? Well, it's going on with proteins and a bunch of other synapses are going on, but scientists have filmed how the brain makes it. And this happened at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine at Yeshiva. And they watch how molecules morph into the structures that at the end of the day make who we are. And of course, we know that Japanese scientists observed how a thought was formed before, which was an entirely different process. But but the insights in the molecular basis of memory were made possible by technology tour de force never before achieved in animals. A mouse model developed at Einstein, which molecules crucial to making memories were given a fluorescent tag so they could be observed traveling in real time in a living brain. So interesting stuff here, folks. Very, 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 very cool. Anyway, link will be up in the show notes. You can go check it out and watch the videos. All right, over on Uber Gizmo, talk about a Logitech camera that's pretty cool, the CC3000E. It's a pretty powerful video conferencing solution. For those of you looking for one, definitely check that out. It's on a Pro Series from Logitech. Also, there's a great article over on Gizmodo about a guy that built a vehicle, built an electric car that can get 207 miles per gallon, and he built this vehicle in his barn. So very, very cool. This thing is, it looks almost like a Batmobile, but I'll let you guys check it out. And so anyway, it's pretty slick what he's done, and the folks over at Gizmodo have several articles on it. All right, Apple execs say the iOS, and OS X will not merge at 10.10, and that's not going to happen. And they took a little bit of a swipe at Windows. They said, it's obvious and easy enough to slap a touchscreen on a piece of hardware, but is that a good experience? They said, we believe no. We don't waste time thinking, but it should be one interface. How do you make these operating systems merge together? What a waste of energy that would be. But he added, Schiller said that, but he added that the company definitely tries to smooth out the bumps in the road that makes it difficult for its customers. Basically, they try to smooth it out so it's not difficult for its customers to switch between a Mac and an iOS device. But they're definitely not merging the code at 10.10. But it was a nice little shot at Microsoft. And I think there's two separate animals. I think that's maybe where Microsoft lost its way with Windows 8. They're trying to do too much at one time. Now, on the NSA front, the government has reached a deal with tech firms on data requests. The Obama administration agreed Monday to let technology companies make more information public about how often the government monitors internet use, a move that aims to ease public distrust and corporate complaints about snooping. The pact will allow Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, Google, Yahoo, and other technology firms to disclose more aggregate information about the demands they receive. However, the numbers would be released in broad ranges, and the agreement doesn't give the companies new ways to block demands they view as intrusive. So a little bit of a change here. Now, at the same time, the folks at Apple said that it received less than 250 national security orders in the first half of 2013. So basically, national security orders, which falls, although it fell between 0 and 250, Apple stated it had not received any requests for bulk data collection, mentioning once again that personal conversations over iMessage and FaceTime are encrypted. These echoed statements by CEO Tim Cook this week that it does not provide the government a backdoor to its servers. The other data it can now reveal includes exact numbers for account information requests by law enforcement. That includes 2,330 accounts specified in requests, which resulted in information disclosed for 747 accounts. All in all, the numbers and ranges support claims by the industry that the amount of data requests is very small. But as we've learned, sometimes these organizations aren't necessarily asking for content. So there's another follow-up article on that on Engadget. I'll have both those up in the show notes. Prince only sued 22 music filers, music shares, again, for $1 million each. Another article we're on Engadget. Chrome is updated, has been updated for iOS and lets you quickly translate text and save on data too. They got a data crunching algorithm in the new Chrome mobile browser for iOS. So get that downloaded. For those of you that are interested in shipbuilding, there's a cruise ship that gets cut in half and remade 99 feet longer. They got a time-lapse video on this. It's pretty cool. I'll have a link up in the show notes on that. Over on the register, this is weird. Never saw an ad like that. Big, huge, weird pop-up. For those of you down in Australia, apparently the Australian government rebuilt a bunch of their websites. And the particular website, medicare.gov.au, which was normally the landing page for the Medicare site in Australia, is now forbidden. And what's happened is they launched this new site without putting in all the redirects. You know, this is something that we're planning here at Geek News Central. When I basically have to go in and split this baby up and you know, take the new media show and break it out, and when I have to take the Gadget Professor and put it on its own domain and so forth, we've got to write redirects for all of anything, any URLs that change, so that those old links still work. We don't want to lose traffic because we didn't redirect the content to the new URL. Many times the URLs will be the same, but not all. So we're definitely going to have to work that very carefully, and it's going to take some mapping, and for me it'd be a lot of cut and pasting and searching and database melding to get the original links to the new links, or the old links to the new links. And if you miss one, it can really impact you. So this is an issue that's going on in Australia right now, and they're paying the price for not getting that mapping done. That's just, you know, that's 101 stuff for folks that are doing websites. Hey, Facebook is reportedly hiring editors for a paper. As you may have heard, Facebook is rumored to be creating their own version of Flipboard called Facebook Paper. It basically pushes news to your feed, but unlike News Feed, where it relies on a algorithm to determine what sort of news you might be interested in, what you may want to read, Facebook Paper will use actual human beings to help curate news and deliver content. So if you like to do that kind of stuff, Facebook is hiring. PlayStation 4 and Xbox One are definitely going head-to-head, but some think that the PlayStation 4 may have longer legs than the Xbox One, largely because the PlayStation 4 is more upgradable. So there's a discussion going on of who's going to win. I think it's going to boil down to experience, and the hardcore folks will have two. My family, we're still on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. All right, speaking of the NSA, apparently, if coders are not doing real good in gaming coders, if they're not real good in getting their code secured, apparently they've been developing capabilities to take advantage of leaky smartphone apps like Angry Birds that transmit users' private information across the internet. So anyway, this is a little article on the Guardian. So now they're going to monitor you when you're playing Angry Birds. I didn't read the full details, but this makes me say, oh, man. So what are they getting from someone playing Angry Birds? I don't quite get that one. Over on ZDNet, Microsoft Office web apps to be renamed Office Online. That's a rumor, so we'll see what happens with that. The Russians have been hiring shamans to make sure the Winter Olympics have snow. So they're a little bit worried about snow. So they're going to be, basically calling in Siberian spiritual guides, be conducting a special ceremony to ensure that the typical sunny resort somehow brings snow in time for the games. So there are 500 artificial snow machines ready to go in case there's no... the shamans can't bring snow. Now, this next one is pure genius, but I don't know where this guy had all of his time. So this guy bought a first-class airplane ticket on China Airlines, and every day he would go to the airport. He would not have any baggage. He would go through security. He'd go into the first-class lounge, which is pretty doggone nice in most international airports. He would eat and drink for free. And then before he left, he would change his departure date to the next day. And then he would leave. And he did this 300 times. Now, apparently, at China Eastern Airlines, they started investigating this guy for changing his flight too many times. And when he became under suspicion, he simply canceled his airplane ticket and got a full refund. But he ate at the airlines in the first class lounge for 1 year for free. Bravo. But that takes some dedication. That takes some incredible dedication. But Kwang Wa Yut Ho is a genius, and took care of that, took advantage of that free perk. And very, very smart. Anyway. I think you guys would get a smile on that. All right, let me get into email, then we'll get you out of here. doing a little running a little long on time, but we're still under the normal length of the show. And let me look at today's date. Today is 27th. The last show was recorded on the 23rd. So start right there. Got an email from Ron. He said, hey, you asked opinions on show length. I find the sweet spot to be just under an hour so I can fit it between TV shows. Ron, we're a little over. Got an email from Ross. He says, hey, Todd, just finished listening to your podcast about, and you mentioned the Russian ship that filled with hungry rats and ready to come crashing ashore in the UK or Ireland. If you'd actually read further down, it does say there's been no contact with the ship since March of last year. That was March of, okay, that makes sense. The article also mentioned it was anchored off St. John's. That is also incorrect. The ship was tied up alongside the waterfront for 2 years and was becoming an eyesore. The ship was disinfected before it was sold to a company that was towing it to sea and headed to the Dominican Republic when the line broke. Transport Canada hired a ship and tried to tow it, and they towed it out to international waters away from the oil platforms and around Newfoundland and cut it free. The tugboat the company sent wasn't fit for sea, and Transport Canada made them fix the boat before they would let it leave. The joke was, we got rid of one eyesore, now we have another. So he says, Todd, it's sad that you had mentioned the story, especially from Gawker. When all you had to do is search Google and find the truth. Hey, here's what happens, Ross. I am going through tons of articles, and sometimes you have only so much time to review an article. It looked like it was picked up and all over the place that day. So that's what happens. He says, I hope you don't start getting your stories from the National Enquirer. Here's a link from the Toronto Star. Doesn't make sense that we'd allow a ship infested with rats to leave our country and that another country would actually allow it to enter their country. I've also included a link to the photo that I took that shows it was tied up along the waterfront. Thanks, Ross, for squaring me away. And of course, Ross is a longtime listener in St. John's, Newfoundland, and a longtime fan. Thanks for being here. And I'll watch. I'll try to be careful. But sometimes you just see that, and it was all over the place. It just wasn't on Gawker. There was other places, too, that covered it that day. But I'll watch out for it. Jeff sent me a bunch of links. He said, hey, Todd, here's some links. Google Nexus discontinued for next year, maybe. There's a report on that. Actually, I covered this. The PS4 console may be winning the war on consoles. He sent me a link to the Samsung ZEQ photo leak and Android rival Tizen coming soon. And he sent me a link on net neutrality regulations. ISP may be made common carriers. And I think the FCC... has got an opportunity here. We'll see if they make Comcast, Time Warner, and all those, cable companies, common carriers. They're going to fight it tooth and nail, but we'll see what happens. But Jeff, thanks for sending me four great links. They'll be up in the listener links tonight. Hey, just don't forget here, I've got an email address. It's geeknews@gmail.com. Feel free to email your comments, thoughts, and definitely, just like Ross did, kick me in the butt. And we're happy to take all comments, positive, negative, whatever it may be, or clarifications. It's always good. So geeknews@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter. Of course, you can get a link to our Facebook or Google Plus page in the show notes tonight at geeknewscentral.com. So I want to thank you all for being here. Definitely think about our sponsor, GoDaddy. And of course, on the website, we've got a Dropcam and Gazelle link. And if you need to get some cash, Gazelle's a great way to cash in, and Dropcam's a great way to get a live HD streaming camera for your home or business. And we definitely want to thank all the insiders out there. We've had some insiders actually increase their monthly donation. And bravo. Thank you so much for that. It's appreciated. Had a couple of people went from 2 to 10. And I appreciate when you guys do that. That really helps the show out a lot. And we're going to get Sam busy and start doing something special for the insiders. Haven't quite figured out exactly what we're going to do. Always looking for insights on that from the insiders as well. What would you like to hear? So definitely drop me an email. All right, everyone, we'll see you on Thursday. And it's been great being here with you this show. Until next time, take care. We'll see you. Aloha.